Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Beard, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to continue in our current series of study, The Riches of God, and already we have considered that He is rich in love, and He is rich in mercy, and there are two messages on that wonderful subject. And then He is rich in grace, rich in glory, and today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider the fact that He is rich in wisdom and knowledge. These two are linked together. Wisdom and knowledge are linked together. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, we read, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." This is at the end of a chapter when the Apostle Paul speaks of God's dealings with Jews and Gentiles, and he is profound at the wisdom of God. And he makes this wonderful statement, and it does not even need a context, but it's beautiful in the context. "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." Now, wisdom, as we have already said, wisdom and knowledge are linked together here, and they're also linked together in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. It's possible to have knowledge and not use it rightly. But we read there in Proverbs 15 and 2, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright." There's the right use of knowledge, and the tongue of the wise uses it correctly, gives it the logical and the application that God intended it to have. His ways are past finding out, and the mouth of the fools, we also read that. I should read the verse again. Proverbs 15:2, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." They may have the knowledge, but they don't use it right. They pour out foolishness. They may not accept that knowledge of God, particularly. They may feel that their own knowledge is greater. The fool in the book of Proverbs is the person to whom you can't tell anything. He already knows it all. But the tongue of the wise useth knowledge right. Let's go on. Now, knowledge is the acquaintance with facts, and wisdom uses, plans, and coordinates those facts to meet specific needs. Now, wisdom is not unique with a certain amount of people, like the proverbial Philadelphia lawyer. Not at all. God gives wisdom. We'll be touching on that later in the broadcast. God gives wisdom to every man. But wisdom uses, plans, and coordinates those facts that are under the title of knowledge to meet specific needs as they arise. Now, the Lord Himself is the source of wisdom. We read in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, "For I would not that ye, or I would rather that ye knew not," Paul is speaking to his Colossians, "I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." You notice wisdom and knowledge is linked together here again. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are linked together in Christ. In the 19th verse of this wonderful first chapter of Colossians, we read, "And it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." All fullness, it dwells in Christ. He's the manifestation of God. We know that He indeed has come to reveal God, and He's the manifestation of God, and we're told by the Apostle Paul that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Him. All right, now, also we read in 1 Corinthians 1 and 30, where the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, and in his epistle he writes, Verse 30, but of him, but of God the Father, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He's made unto us wisdom. He is the source of wisdom. Now, his wisdom is seen in creation, and he's the creator. We read that in the first chapter of John, of the Gospel of John. We read it there, that he made all things. Now, the wisdom of the Christ is seen in the creation. Albert Einstein made a terrific statement once, and he said, Albert Einstein, one of the world's greatest scientists, perhaps the greatest, we won't class him, but he said that he made this statement: the delicate balances of nature give undeniable evidence of the existence of a supreme being. I want you to listen to that. The delicate balances of nature. What are those delicate balances of nature? Well, any high school graduate knows that there's a balance between oxygen and carbon dioxide in this world. All human and all animal matter uses up oxygen and gives off carbon dioxide. Now, the plant life in this world takes in carbon dioxide and gives off oxygen. And there's a balance. The world has been in existence for thousands of years, eons of time, and the balance has not been upset. It's just right. The amount of the animal nature that uses the oxygen and gives forth carbon dioxide is just perfectly balanced with the trees that give us oxygen. What a coincidence. Is it a coincidence? No, it isn't. And then there's the balance between the sea area and dry land. Now, approximately three-fourths of the earth is covered by sea. Now, the moisture that goes onto the dry land is evaporated from that sea. And there is enough moisture evaporates from the two-thirds of the area of the world to take care of the needs, the moisture needs, of the one-fourth that remains. And the balance is perfect. Perfect. All right, that's just another balance. Now, there's a balance between the gravity and centrifugal force. This Earth is kept on its constant course by means of two powers that are resident in God, that came from God, perhaps I better say. Gravity and centrifugal force. Now, gravity pulls us toward the sun, but we are going around the sun, and we're going around the sun just at the right speed that the centrifugal force that would carry the Earth out into the universe is just equal to the gravity that pulls it to the sun. A coincidence? No. And only my ignorance can possibly outline the limitations, examples of this wonderful truth, that the delicate balances of nature give undeniable evidence of the existence of the Supreme Being. Now, the wisdom is seen in redemption. It's seen in creation, as we've already been talking, but it's seen in redemption. Now, in 1 Corinthians, we read in chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, the learned Greeks, and they were noted for their wisdom, they spoke of the gospel as being foolishness. It didn't fit their philosophy. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. All right. The preaching of the cross was foolishness to them, but God has ordained that salvation is available only through faith and not by human wisdom. Aren't you glad? We're not all Philadelphia lawyers, are we? If we had to understand it, and I don't understand the love of God that gave his son to die for me, a rebel sinner, and for you as well. I won't call you a rebel sinner. I'm reserving that for myself. But he died on that cross. God gave his son. The unplumbable depths of God's love. And what was accomplished at the cross of Calvary when Christ died for your sins and for mine? Now God has revealed those things to us. We read in verse 19 in that first chapter of 1 Corinthians, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." They were too wise to acknowledge him. They were satisfied with their own selves. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." How are they saved? They're saved by believing, not of their wonderful grasp of the mysteries of God. Not at all. They simply believe what God has told them. I want to read that verse again. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. All their wisdom led them away from God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now the preaching is done, and it is empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And he reveals Christ to us. It's a revelation to most people when they get saved. "I never realized that salvation is a completed thing, that all I've got to do is to take it as a gift." But that doesn't coincide with the philosophy of the wise. Not at all. Oh, they've got to earn it. But God gives it, and it's only available by faith. Just simple faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful that these things are true. Now, let's go on quickly. God's wisdom is available to us. We read in James chapter 1 and verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." And he adds, "But not let him not ask in unbelief." Not at all. It can't be obtained. It must be obtained by faith. Now, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not." And then we've already read, as we mentioned a while ago, in the 30th verse, "But of him," of God the Father, "are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." He is our wisdom, and we can go to him. How wonderful that we are not left to our own devices. We are guided by the wisdom of God. And that wisdom can be available to you and me simply for the asking for it. But we must ask in faith and believe that God will give it to us. A wonderful subject. Certainly a wonderful subject, rich in wisdom and knowledge. Father, do impress our hearts with the need of the Lord Jesus and his wisdom to go through this life. We pray in Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.